If you will, take your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter number 3 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 3. Take just a few minutes tonight and we'll look at some verses together. Last week, we were talking about our love for God. And let's go ahead and pray tonight before we get started. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, for our health and our strength, God. And we know that there's many that would love to be here tonight that can't, God. Maybe they're fighting battles with cancer, or maybe they're going through different things, God. Maybe they're at work, or maybe some that don't even just have a concern. I pray for each and every one, God. I pray for the ones that have needs, that you'll bless those. And maybe if there's some that don't have that concern, God, that you'll just help them wherever they're at tonight. Not that we would look down on them, not that we would think one way or another about them, but God, that they would receive strength, God, and they would have a concern to be in your house. God, we thank you and we praise you most of all for Jesus Christ loving us and being willing to come and lay down his life for us. We want to thank you and we want to praise you for all that you do for us. Thank you for the way that you're blessing our church, for the ones that's been saved recently. God, I pray that you'll strengthen them. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. So in Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to read in just a minute, but last week we were talking about, and the question that I led off with last night is, how much do you love God? And how do we try to explain that and put that into words? And then as we talked later on, and it wasn't so much about how much that we love God, but how much that God loved us. And not that God even, we know that his word tells us that he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about God's love for us, and we know how he told us that he loved us. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's many, many verses in the Bible about God's love for us, but not only did he tell us, but he showed us. By allowing Jesus Christ. And we know when we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're all three one. They all have different, let's call them jobs in our life. We have the Father, we have the Son, and the Holy Spirit that indwells us. So we know that they have different jobs in our life, and they're all three one. Preacher, how in the world could you explain that so that I could understand it? Forget it. Just believe it, all right? So as we know that you have the Godhead, and all three are God, and all three have different characteristics, I guess you could say, that they have in our lives, but yet we know that God loved us so much that he allowed the Son to come give his life for us, and he showed us that love as he laid down his life on the cross. He said that no man took his life, but that he freely laid it down for us. And then we see the love of Christ as he's there on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, you know what? We take that as in he was talking about the people that were crucifying him, but do you know that each and every one of us are responsible for crucifying Jesus tonight? Absolutely. I mean, we may not have driven the nails, and we may not have put the crown of thorns on his head, and we may not have been part of the ones that used the cat of nine tails upon him, or spit on him, or plucked his beard out. We may not have been there to physically do those things, but the reason that he was on those cross was not because of the nails, and not because of the thorns, and not because of the soldiers, but it was because of my sin and your sin. That's why he was on the cross. And he said, this is how much that I love you. And I know today being Valentine's Day, I want us to look at the love of God for just a few minutes. As we did talk last week about how much that we love God, and that is almost impossible to explain how much that we love God. Just like it's impossible for you to look in someone's eyes that you're married to, or maybe that you're dating or whatever, and tell them how much that you love them, but yet you try to show them with your life throughout the year. I hope that Valentine's Day is not the only day that you go, okay, I'm going to buy you a couple of flowers and some candy that I'm going to eat anyway and tell you how much I love you. I hope that's not what our love is all about. I think it is a good thing to do if that's what you do. I think I bought Autumn some shoes for Valentine's Day. I think she came in a couple weeks ago and said, I bought me some shoes, and I said, Happy Valentine's Day, and that was pretty much it. And that's fine. We're good with that. But today is not the only day that you should show your love for one another. But let's look for just a minute. Let's look. First of all, we're going to see a physical, and what I mean by that is a personal love, a person maybe that we can identify with, because we find in Ephesians chapter number 3, we find Paul. Paul is writing a letter to the church of Ephesus, and he is telling them how that he's going to pray for them. And we can see the love that Paul has for the church of Ephesus as he is writing this letter. So Ephesians chapter number 3, I think verse number 14 is where we're going to start tonight. So verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that he's praying for the church of Ephesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In other words, we're all in this together because of the love of Christ. He says, because of Christ, it's all named together. If you're fighting a spiritual battle, if you're part of the spiritual family, however you want to look at it, if you are a spiritual soldier, it is all because of God the Father. And he said, I pray for you. And then I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He said, I'm praying for your inner man. I'm praying for you to have strength. Let's read that one more time because I was a little sketchy with that first time. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. See, Paul, he loves these people here, and he's telling you, he says, I want you to know that I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for you that you will be strengthened. You know, this Christian warfare that we're after, or that we're a part of, this spiritual warfare that we have, and we know how the Bible talks about that our spirit is willing and our flesh is weak, and how that it is a spiritual warfare, that it's a daily thing, that we have to die daily, that we have to continually fight our flesh. That's not something that just happened this year, or that just happened in the last 10 years, or that COVID brought along. The spiritual battle has been a thing forever and ever and ever, ever since Adam and Eve. We see the spiritual battle there in the garden. And he says, look, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I believe that if Paul could say these words, maybe that I would say, I know the battle that you're fighting because I fight it too. I believe Paul looks at the church of Ephesus and he goes, I know what that spiritual battle is like. First of all, we know where Paul come from. We know that he was persecuting Christians and how that God called him out of that. But we see that he is fighting a spiritual battle, and he says, I'm going to pray for you that you may be strengthened. I love you, and I want you to know that I want you to be strengthened. Look, not by my words or not because of what I say, but with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. It's on the inside. Just this week, I had one of the teenagers reach out, and we were texting back and forth just a minute, and this person asked me, how do I get closer to God? What a wonderful question, and what a complex answer. Because you know what? I've been saved since I was 7 years old, and I'm still daily trying to figure out, how do I get closer to God? How do I surrender myself to God more? How do I allow His Holy Spirit to lead me? What can I do? My simple answer was this, and this was just a short answer, because I didn't want to preach a whole message. I said, protect your mind. You've absolutely got to protect your mind from the things that come into your mind, because I believe the things that come into your mind lead your heart in directions as you go from day in and day out. Take in the Word of God. Be sure that things of this world are not coming in. Hey, and I know it's tough. We all live in this world every single day. And sometimes just by happenstance and just because of circumstances that we're in, the world comes in. But you know, there are times that we sit and take in the world when we don't have to also, right? I mean, you hear preachers talk about what you listen to and what you watch and all that kind of stuff all you want to, and that TVs are the devil. You know, the TV is not the devil. You're the devil because you sit there and watch what you shouldn't watch, because I do, right? We got to figure out, hey, I got a remote control, and I can turn this thing to whatever I want to watch, whatever I don't want to watch. Hey, you can say, well, the internet, that's the worst thing that's ever happened. There is a whole lot of good stuff on the internet, and you're in control of what comes across your screen. We have to be the one to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That's what Paul's saying. All of these things are out here, and I'm going to pray for you that you'll be strengthened in the inner man. You know what we all need that daily in our lives, that we pray one for another, that we are strengthened in the inner man, that we follow after what God would have us to have. I've been focusing on this scripture for the whole week because actually last Wednesday night after we got finished talking and teaching, Angela come up here and said, here, let me show you this scripture right here. I wanted to say it, but I didn't. And I said, I wish you would have said it. But I'm glad she didn't now because I've been studying on it all week now that I've read this. So look, let's go back to verse number 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that dwell is not just that he's there, but that he fills you. That, I mean, I know I've told y'all many times and used this little example about the Duran White, a guy I used to play music with, is the one that told me the story, and I think it is just a story that's passed, you know, some of those little examples that get passed. But he was talking about a little girl that got saved, and when she got saved, she asked the preacher, she said, didn't you tell me that we serve a great big God? And he said, yes. He said, didn't you tell me that God holds the whole world in his hands? And he said, yes. He said, well, if that God is so big, if he moves on to the inside of my heart, won't he stick out? And the preacher said, yes. Absolutely. And you know what? That's how full our lives should be with the Holy Spirit, with God dwelling in us. It shouldn't be that he indwells in us and he's just got a little old place in our lives. God should be our life. I don't expect us to walk around with our hands held up hollering hallelujah all the time, but God should come out of our lives. He should dwell inside of us. And when that indwelling takes place and we begin to surrender unto God and we begin to yield to the Holy Spirit in our life, that will lead us to the way that we move closer to God. Let's continue. That he would grant you, verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You know what? There's two words right here in this scripture that causes us some issues. By faith. You know what? This whole thing is by faith. And that's the reason that some of the world has trouble with it. They can't understand. They think... Some people think that we're ignorant because we believe in something that we haven't ever seen, that we haven't ever touched, that we can't prove, that we look at the Bible and just say, you know what, I just believe it by faith. People have trouble with that. Well, I'm just dumb enough to not have trouble with it, I guess. Because God has shown himself to me over and over again. And every time that I did, I was talking to another young man just this week, and we were talking about the Word of God, and he was asking, he said, I don't even know where to go read at. I don't know where to start at. I want to read the Bible, but where do I start? And I started saying, well, look, don't do what I do because I love the Old Testament. I love to go read the Old Testament. I said, and the Old Testament is just as true as the New Testament, but sometimes you can get lost a little bit. I said, I don't know why, but I like the book of John. I said, go read the book of John. I love the book. He said, well, I was thinking about reading the Gospels. I said, well, start with John. I don't know why. And I said, and then again, go fill in with the other Gospels, and they will fulfill the story. This is not contradictory. It is fulfillment as you read that. I said, but the whole thing about the Word of God is this. I said, when you sit down, don't go, okay, I'm going to read a chapter tonight. Don't do that. Sit down and go, I'm going to start reading God's Word and ask God to speak to me and ask God to show me something out of his word. Because if you tell me, hey, you can read a chapter tonight and you can go back in there and watch deer hunting on YouTube, I'm going to fly through a chapter. That's what we do. That is the physical, that is the flesh in us that we battle. But if I sit down and go, God, I don't care if I'm here for 5 minutes or if I'm here for an hour, I just want to read some and I want you to speak to me. That's when I get stuff out of God's word. You know what? That's that faith working in the middle. That's that stuff you can't see. It is the living Word of God that speaks to you as you read it. Let's continue reading. I didn't mean to stop this much already. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That rooted and grounded is what a lot of Christian people are missing today. They don't have a problem with the surface of Christianity, of the surface of salvation, of being shallow in salvation, because shallow is sweet, ain't it? I mean, it really is. I mean, oh, Jesus saved me from hell. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's good. But I'm talking about when you start digging down and you start getting rooted and you start getting grounded, the devil's coming to fight for one thing, absolutely every single time. And because when you start doing that, not only are you going to be on the surface going, I'm saved, but when you start getting rooted and grounded, you're going to start saying, but there's lost people that I need to point to Jesus. And then the battle starts. Rooted and grounded. I got to move. 19. And to know the love of Christ. Look, he's praying for them. He says, I want you to have this strength. I'm going to pray for your faith. I'm going to pray that you'll have the indwelling of God. And then he says this, and I'm going to pray that you know the love of Christ. Man, if we really did know the love of Christ tonight. And to know the love of Christ, which one passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us, and to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages without end. Amen. I think I skipped a verse, and we got to go back to 18. Because this is where we got to right here. Let's go back to verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. Comprehend. That's a not a great big word. It is for me, but not for Jeremy Palmer. It's a big word for me. But for some of you smart fellows, it's not. But that comprehend, you know, I'm one of those people, I can read something, I can go take a test on it, and discard. I can read something and just say the words, just fly through it and say the words. I can read really fast that way. But if I want reading comprehension, I have to stop, I have to read slowly, I have to let it kind of come in. I might have to stop and do it again. I'm kind of like, no, I'm not like Don Hayes, but he says he has to do this. He has to write it down. If I read it and write it, then it really starts flowing. I'm not like Don Hayes. Don't ever repeat that I even started to say that. But comprehending is when you begin to understand. You begin to get some experience. You know, I believe that's what he's saying, because if you're hearing this in a minute, he's going to talk about that love of Christ. I know that we'll never comprehend the love of Christ, but I'm glad that I have experienced the love of Christ. I have experience with the love of Christ. I know what it is for the love of Christ to move into my life and to work into my life. Look at verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Listen to this. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? Well, if you ever get one of those, I believe you might explode with the love of Christ. Much less if you ever get the breadth, length, depth, and height. If you just get one of those, I believe that that'll be enough to sustain you for the rest of your life. But to know the fullness of God, the fullness of his love toward us. And verse number 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Ain't that kind of like ironic, what he's saying there? Or one of my words, oxymoronic. He's saying that you may know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. It's almost like saying, I pray that you know the love of Christ that you can't know. That's kind of what he's saying. It is impossible to understand how much God loves us, how much Christ loved us. He says that you may know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him, look, and he's saying, I'm not asking too much. This may sound like I'm asking a whole lot from God, that he give you strength, that he help you along the way, that you're filled with the fullness of God, that you're able to understand the love of Christ. Man, it sounds like I'm asking a whole lot, but look what he says. I'm not asking anything compared to what God can do. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. He says what I'm asking is just a small thing to our God. What I'm asking God to do is just minimal compared to what he can do in your life. I'm asking him to do these things, and I know it sounds like it is so far-fetched because even I said, or even Paul said, that I'm asking him to help you to understand something that's not understandable and to know something that you can't know. But he says, but now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. Amen. Unto him be glory. That's kind of the thought that we're focusing on Sunday mornings right now for our good and his glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's all I have tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I want to thank you for your word. God, I want to thank you for helping us, God, to get a little glimpse of the love that you have for us. It's so difficult to understand, God. But I'm glad that you let us experience it. God, I'm glad that you spoke to our hearts and that you sent salvation for us, God, and that you allowed us to receive that salvation. And because of that, God, that you do allow your Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. And God, I pray for strength for each and every one of us as we go from day to day, that we'll live a life that's pleasing to you, that's not only a surface Christian or a minimalist Christian, God, but that we're rooted and grounded and that we have a desire to see other people come to know Jesus Christ. God, I want to thank you for everyone that's here. I hope that you let them know how much that you love them and how much this church together means to me. God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.